Good morning. It is great to see you. Thank you for being here. Thankful we get to spend these few moments together. We're going to be continuing a study we did. We started last week where we're talking about from 1 Corinthians 13:13 and other places. It's very common to find in Scripture the words faith, hope, and love grouped together. 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "Now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." And last week we talked about hope and what it means to know the Lord, what it means to know His will and be living in it, and then to be truly expecting to see Him and be with Him and be blessed by Him. Biblical hope is the kind of thing that is so precious and special, but that Christians can have and should have, must have this confident expectation of being with and seeing the Lord. Today, what I want us to do is talking about faith. We're maybe referring to the lesson today as sort of the many faces of faith, because the term faith is used in a number of different ways in Scripture. I don't know, for lack of a better way of thinking about it, faith is a dynamic word because it can refer to various things. It's referred to in various ways in Scripture. So as strange as this may sound at first, I want you to think about this. We're going to see in Scripture today that faith can be in different sizes. Faith can be in different places. And so what our task today is to look through Scripture, find out what the Lord is sharing with us, understand it, and then go and live it. We want to live the kind of faith that the Lord desires for us to have. Make sure that we understand that concept, understand the term, and then live it in a way that we can have great hope, that we can confidently expect to see the Lord one day soon. So, let's start with this. We're going to talk about the fact that faith can reside in certain places. And at various times, I'm going to ask you questions about faith. And the first one I want to ask you is this. If I were to ask you, are you in the faith, would you know how to respond? What would you say if I said, are you in the faith? Note, I didn't say, do you have faith? I'm asking you, are you in the faith? Because one of the ways that Scripture describes faith is it describes it as a place that some were in the faith or others had walked away from the faith, meaning there's a place, as it were, a location that faith is found. And you can be in it or out of it. So you can be in the faith, you can leave the faith, you're in or you're out. Here's an example, Acts 14:22. In Acts 14:22, we have Paul and Barnabas, and it says of them that they are strengthening the souls of the disciples. So those who've obeyed the gospel, Paul and Barnabas are there encouraging them, sharing messages of hope with them. And it says they're encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So here's what's happening in Acts 14. Paul and Barnabas are telling the Christians there that they're going to face trials. You're going to face hardships. You're going to suffer sometimes simply because you're a Christian. When you make a claim to know who Jesus is and you stand with Jesus and thus you shun certain things in the world, certain activities, certain concepts, certain things. So when you take a stand against sin and you stand with the Lord, there's going to be times where you're given a hard time. And so he says, what you should do is endure these things. Don't give up. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't abandon the Lord. Don't walk away from the church. In other words, they say, continue in the faith. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, let me sort of give you some background to how Paul and Barnabas could be here in Acts 14 saying, stay in the faith. Well, how'd they get into the faith? What's that about? Well, you go back to Acts 2, and there's Peter preaching to that crowd of thousands, right? And they find themselves, they recognize Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the one who he claimed to be. He's the one we've been waiting for. He's the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the one. We know for certain, Acts 2:36. If you know for certain, you can know for certain, Jesus is Lord and Savior. And so they recognize Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one. He's our only hope. Jesus is the way. And so it says in Acts 2:37, they said, so what do we do? Acts 2:38, repent. Be immersed, you'll be forgiven, and given the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then it continues on, it gets you down to about Acts 2:47, where it speaks of The Lord adding the numbers to the kingdom. The Lord adding them to the church. So in other words, here's what we would say. After Acts 2:38, we'd say, now they are in the faith. And so Paul and Barnabas would say to them in Acts 14, continue, stay there, stay in the faith. Don't abandon the Lord. Don't abandon the kingdom. Paul would write it this way in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be watchful and stand firm in the faith. In other words, stay there and don't let anybody move you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourselves to see whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourselves, he says. Test yourself and see, are you in the faith? Why test yourself? Why should you do that? Because you can leave this place, he says. Because faith can be left. Faith can be exited. Faith can be shunned. Faith can be ignored. And so he says, test yourself, examine yourself, and see if you're in the faith. Because here's the danger. Here's what's happened to some. 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in these later times, some will depart from the faith. They'll devote themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons. They'll depart the faith. They will leave the faith. They will have once been in the faith and they'll leave. So as it relates to faith, let me ask this question. This is where we started just a minute ago. Where are you? In which place do you find yourself? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ and are you growing there? Are you in the faith? 2 Corinthians 13, 5, you and I have an obligation, a divine mandate placed upon us to test ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. Because faith is it's a place, as it were. To emphasize this same thing, the Bible will very, very often refer to the system of Christianity as the faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says, it mentions seven different things that are just one of them. And in Ephesians 4, 5, it says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So what I want you to note is that you can only be in one place at one time, right? As much as we'd like to. We get so busy, stretched in so many different ways, especially if you got, you know, like a lot of kids or whatever. One's playing baseball, one's got a recital, one's got tennis, but you can only be at one place at a time. Maybe at your job, your boss expects you to be in about four places. You can only be in one place at a time. And in faith, when it comes to following the Lord Jesus, there's only one place to be. That's why Scripture just so often refers to the faith. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. The word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The faith. There's a system of ideas, a specific doctrine that must be believed, known, loved, obeyed, the faith. Galatians 1:23. They were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now, Paul's telling a story, here's what they were hearing about me. He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul said, I'm a minister of the faith, and you must remain established in it. Then there's this, Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding in thanksgiving. Now, it seems pretty clear. The Bible is telling us here again and again, Ephesians 4, 5, and over, there's one faith, not many faiths. It won't do to find a faith that suits you. It's our job to seek the truth, to prove all things, and to hold fast that which is good. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. In other words, when there's all these competing voices in the world, you seek the truth and you seek the faith. And we must find the faith and stand in it and live in it and share it and defend it. That's why in Jude, verse 3, this is what the Bible says. I found it necessary to write, appealing to you, note this, to contend for the faith, the one that was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend for the faith, he said. So here's the question. Here's the first idea as we think about this word faith. Faith is described as a place. And so we're to test ourselves and see, am I in the faith? So I ask you that question this morning. I humbly ask you that question. Examine yourself and ask yourself, am I in the faith? Then there's this. Another way the word faith is used is faith is referred to being a faith in a very specific person. So sometimes faith is used as a body of doctrine, a system of ideas, the faith. But other times, it's about faith just in one lone individual. It's very, 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 very personal. Instead of it being a place, it's all about this one person, Jesus the Christ. Instead of asking, are you in the faith, maybe you should simply ask yourself, do I have faith in Jesus? That's another question to ask. Am I in the faith? Do I have faith in Jesus the Christ? Surely in this setting, when I stand in front of a group like this on a morning like this and I say, do you have faith? I would think that the majority of the answers in here would be, of course, I wouldn't be here if that weren't the case. And in this setting, you know that I'm specifically referring to Jesus of Nazareth. I'm referring to Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Son of God. But then the question becomes, okay, if I am directing my heart and my mind and my will towards Jesus the Christ, what does it mean to have faith in Him? To have faith in Jesus Christ is to trust Him completely. It's to be submissive to Him in every way. It's to follow Him wherever He leads. Here's some examples. Acts 3:16. After this paralyzed man had been healed, it said in Acts 3:16, what healed him is faith in His, that is, in Jesus' name. The authority and the power of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who saves. It's Jesus who heals. It's Jesus who restores. It's Jesus who sets free. And so it's in Jesus that we're to have faith. Acts 20, verse 21. Testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ. It is Christ that we trust. It is Christ that we follow. It's Christ that we love. Galatians 2:16. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we've believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ. Then go down to Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. It's faith in Christ. In John chapter 20, verse 31, the Bible says that these things have been written. The Gospel of John was written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Another way to read that and understand it the same way. So that we may have faith in Jesus. So that we might trust Jesus. These things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. I must believe. Just turn to the book of Romans real quick. Start in Romans 5. I want you to see several passages in Romans. Just quick hitters right here in the book of Romans that show us some things about what we must believe about Jesus. You and I must believe. If I say, have faith in Christ, well, what does that mean? I'm going to be real specific here going through the book of Romans. If I say, have faith in Christ, if I say you must have faith in Christ in order to live, one of the things that means is I must believe that Jesus died for me. Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. I must believe that Jesus died for me. That's part of what it is to have faith in Christ. But also believing that He died for me, I must also believe that He rose from the grave. Romans 10:9. I must believe that Jesus Christ not only died for me, but then 3 days later walked out of that tomb, conquering death, conquering the fear of the other side for me. I must believe He died for me. I must believe He rose. Thirdly, I must be united with Christ. This is Romans 6. Go to Romans 6:3-5. I must be united with Christ in that burial and resurrection. So if I believe that Jesus Christ died, Romans 5, I believe that He rose again, Romans 10. In between there, it says in Romans 6 that I must be united with Him in a death and resurrection like His. Romans 6:3-5. So I must be united with Him in baptism that unites me with His death and resurrection. Then there's this. I must also believe, Romans 8:34. I must believe that Jesus Christ, even now, intercedes for me. that he sees me, knows me, cares about me, loves me. And he's my advocate. He's the one that's making intercession for me. I must believe that about Christ. Romans 8:34. Then the last one is this. Romans 14, verses 11 through 12. I must also believe that Jesus Christ is coming one day in judgment. If I say I have faith in Christ, I know he died for me, shed his blood for me, conquered death, giving me hope of life forever. I must believe that I must be united with him in that death and resurrection. I believe that he intercedes for me, and I believe, Romans 14, he's coming back for me. In a nutshell, that's what the book of Romans shows us about what we must believe about Jesus Christ. Obviously, there's more, but that is a very concise picture of the case. My faith is a system of belief that he says you must be in the faith. But my faith centers around the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who came to this earth and died and rose and ascended to the right hand of the Father. It is in him that I place my hope. It is in him that I trust. But then there's this. Faith also is the kind of thing that has potential. There's the system. There's the faith. There's Jesus, the one in whom I place my faith that saves me. But then when it becomes this very personal thing, the Bible will refer to faith as something that can be small or bigger or great. It's all these things. So the way I like to think about it is this. My faith, your faith, has potential. Because maybe where you are this morning, and we're going to talk specifically about this in just a second, but maybe where you are this morning is you're not satisfied with who you are and where you are. That's the great thing about faith, is that it can grow. It can flourish. Look at a couple of these passages with me. James chapter 2. Maybe turn there. James 2. We'll look at several things, but I want to begin at verse 14. Because like we said, we're going to focus on the idea that faith can refer to a place or a person, but it also is dynamic in the sense that it can be strong, it can be weak, it can change. James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? What can that faith, can that kind of faith, can that save him? Here's an example. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and you say, go in peace, be warmed and filled, who did that do any good for? He says, what good is that if you didn't actually give them the things they need? You didn't actually give them food, didn't actually give them a place, didn't actually give them a blanket, didn't give them anything. Oh, I sure hope things work out for you. Never a thought again. What is that? He says, faith by itself, if it doesn't have action, if it doesn't have things that connect it to people in this world, faith without works is dead. And drop down. Verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Believing in God is one thing. That's great. But he says, but even the demons believe and they shudder. They believe that he is. They believe that he's there. They believe that he's powerful, but they don't trust him. They don't give themselves to him. They believe that he's real, and yet they go on and do their own thing. That's not biblical faith. Verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Here's what we're understanding. Here's what we're trying to establish. A dead faith says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. But a dead faith then goes no further than that. A dead faith does nothing. It's one thing to say, Jesus is the Lord of my life, but then never actively and openly live for him. And that's exactly what's happening in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. So many people, Lord, Lord, Jesus said, on that day, on judgment day, many will call out to me, Lord, Lord. But he's going to eventually have to tell them, I don't know you, because the one who's to be blessed, the one who gets to be with me, is the one who does the will of my Father. It's more than just saying a name. It's about living a life. It's about being committed to with heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Mark chapter 2, here's a good example of what it means to have a living faith as opposed to a dead faith. Mark 2, the beginning of this chapter, Jesus is telling us about a man who's paralyzed, can't walk. And so he's got these four friends, these four dear friends who would do anything to get this man in front of the Christ. There's a crowd of people at the house. They can't just walk right in. They'd love to just bring this man right up to the Lord, so close that Jesus is forced to touch him, but they can't. There's too many people. So they go to the roof and they tear a hole in the roof And they let the man down right in front of the Lord there in front of everyone. And it says in Mark 2:5, look at this, Mark 2:5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. So here's what we're to understand. Faith is a personal, private kind of thing. It's something that only I can do. You can't make me faithful. I can't make you faithful. It's private. It's personal. But it's also public. Your faith is to be seen. Like Jesus said there in Mark 2:5, he saw their faith, and so he blessed them. Their faith was seen not by he saw deep into their hearts as the Lord can do. It said he saw the action. He saw what they were doing. The tearing apart the roof and lowering the man down. The way they wouldn't give up. The way they were so persistent. He said he saw that and blessed them so that because everyone else could see it too. Faith must be seen. So it's one thing to say, I know the Lord. It's one thing to say, I love the Lord. It's another thing to live a life that demonstrates we love the Lord. A living faith is seen by all. Most especially, it's seen by the Lord. But then there's this. Not only can faith be living or it can be dead, faith can also be of various sizes. Go to Matthew chapter 6. There's several times Jesus, over and over and over again, was very direct, very blunt with his disciples. You would think that those who are following Jesus, they're with him day in, day out for some 3 years, that they would just have the most robust, most dynamic, most amazing faith ever. But Jesus again and again said to them, you have little faith. Matthew 6, verse 30. Oh, you of little faith. Matthew 8, verse 26. Oh, you of little faith. Matthew 14, 31. Matthew 16, 8. Matthew 17, 20. Again and again and again, Jesus said, your faith is little. It's there, but it's little. It needs to grow. Let's look at 8:26. Matthew 8:26 is the example we'll use. Matthew 8:26. Remember this in Matthew 8, in this paragraph here is where the disciples are seeking to cross the Sea of Galilee with Jesus. And just very quickly, out of nowhere, this tremendous storm comes up and starts rocking the boat. And it's so serious, it's so scary that the disciples basically have said, well, this is it. This is it. We're going to die here. And Jesus is asleep. And so they wake him up. Master, how can you sleep through this? How can you just quietly and calmly lie there and let us die? Remember what Jesus said? This is Matthew 8:26. Oh, you of little faith. Jesus just spoke, and the wind and the sea, that it stopped raging. Everything was calm. Now, they had faith. Clearly, the disciples had faith, or else they wouldn't have left their homes to follow Jesus. They had faith, but Jesus said, your faith's too small. Your faith lacks understanding. Your faith lacks conviction. Your faith lacks a certain power. And so he said, your faith's too small, but it's going to grow. It's going to get better. It's going to get to a place where you're going to go to the whole world. You're going to tell people about me, and it's going to turn the world upside down. Your faith is going to be known as a powerful, dynamic faith. Because see, here's the good news, what Jesus was telling them that day, what he's telling us today. Wherever you find yourself right now, if you sit there tonight and you think, or today, and you think, yeah, that's me, Jesus would look at me and say, oh, your faith is so small. The good news is it doesn't have to stay there. The faith, their faith, the disciples' faith was going to grow into something bigger and bigger and more powerful. And ours can too. Our faith has potential to come to know Jesus and follow him and love him in a way that is special. Speaking of little faith, there's also times where very similarly the scripture talks about instead of calling it little faith, the Bible calls it weak faith. Weak versus strong. Romans 14 and Romans 15. Romans 14 verse 1, look at this. Romans 14, 1. As for the one who's weak in the faith, welcome him. Don't quarrel over opinions. But then chapter 15 verse 1. We who are strong, meaning strong in the faith, have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So here's what he's saying very quickly in Romans 14, 1 and 15, 1. We're all at different places in our journey of faith. Little faith, weak faith, it has the potential to grow. And what we're to be doing is not getting discouraged if our faith seems small, but staying with the Lord. Keep learning, keep trusting, keep obeying. Because what the Lord expects of us is not from day one to have the most powerful, most amazing faith anyone's ever heard of. What He expects from us is to have growing faith. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul was always praying and praising God and giving thanks to God for the people that he knew. He says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right to do. And here's why. Because your faith is growing abundantly. Paul gave praise to God because the Christians in Thessalonica, their faith was growing abundantly. So be encouraged. Your faith can grow. Your faith can be more powerful tomorrow than it was yesterday. Study, pray, be a part of worship, be a part of fellowship, be one who comes to be drawn closer and closer and closer to the Lord. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 5, Peter would write it this way, make every effort or give all diligence to add to your faith. It starts off by saying add to your faith virtue, but the idea is this, have a faith that grows. But be warned, that means he's expecting your faith to grow. It's not only your faith can grow, it's your faith needs to grow, your faith must grow. And so I guess the question at this point would just be this, do you have a growing faith? Because what all of us are striving for, what we're shooting for, what we're longing for, is a great faith. Go to Matthew 15. I want you to see this. This is where we'll close for the day. In Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28, we have the account of Jesus coming in contact with this Canaanite woman. This Canaanite woman. So Jesus is outside the bounds of Judea. And he comes in contact with this woman who has a demon-possessed daughter. And she comes to him and says, Jesus, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. In other words, we are having the worst time. We are living a nightmare. You recall what happened there? You recall what all she had to go through to finally get a reaction from Jesus? She overcame embarrassment. She overcame what I would call peer pressure and teasing. You know, the apostles were there and they weren't exactly welcoming. They tried to get her to leave. You're an outsider. You're someone that's from another. Jesus doesn't have time for this. She was shunned. She was turned away. Even the first time she asked the question, Jesus remained silent. The very one that she had tried so hard to get in contact with, when she asked her question, when she asked for relief, he doesn't even answer. But Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 28, woman, great is your faith. You have great faith. He said that she had great faith because she knew who Jesus was. She called him Son of David. She knew that this was one that was from the lineage of the King David that was the one we've been waiting for. Son of David, she knew him. She knew he was merciful. She knew he was powerful. So he said she had great faith. She cried, she begged, she bowed down before him. Here was someone who was humble, but she was persistent. She wouldn't give up, but she was confident. She knew that Jesus could make a difference. And then this one right here, I love this. This is what makes faith great. Remember that conversation where Jesus said, it's not right for me to give the bread that belongs to the Jews or the Gentiles? And she said, but even the dog gets the crumbs, right? You put the bread on the table for the family and the dog gets the little crumbs. Great faith knows that with Jesus, even a little bit is really a lot. Even just a little bit of Christ is what we need that makes all the difference in the world. This is great faith. It's confident, persistent, humble, but knows that Jesus is the answer. So just like this woman, you and I have potential, the potential to be great and have great faith. So this morning, the call of the Lord is for us to examine ourselves. Are we in the faith? Is our faith in Jesus Christ great? Is our faith growing? Well, if you would answer no to any of those questions, then let us help you. Let us encourage you in some way right now while together we stand and sing.